Shout out to our sponsors, King's Peak Coffee Roasters. Located on 412 South, 7th West in Salt Lake, King's Peak has a wonderful coffee shop and roastery with great atmosphere, delicious coffee, friendly baristas, and plenty of parking. Offering to help anyone willing to learn coffee, King's Peak is the place to go. King's Peak is ethically and sustainably sourced, believing that everyone in the coffee supply chain should be properly supported through fair compensation and powered by real human-to-human relationships. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 2, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 2, you will feel loved the moment you walk through their doors. For any questions or inquiries, or wholesale, visit them at kingspeakcoffee.com or just head on over. Good chance you'll see us there. Until the next coffee, my friends. You're listening to The Tastemasters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, family. Super cool episode. I'm here in the heart of Epic Brewing here in Salt Lake, and I'm here with my good friend Matt Thompson. Matt, what's up, brother?
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing, man?
I'm well. How are you?
Dude, I love life, dude. It's good.
Yeah.
You're looking good, man.
Thank you.
You just get done with some work?
I did.
What'd you end up doing?
CIP'd three tanks, just kind of getting ready for Imperial Stout brewing for our Baptist season this year. So
is it kind of like, it's like tax season, like crazy time for you? Like,
yeah,
it's starting, this crazy time.
Yeah, it's starting earlier than what I was anticipating. So now we have like this push. So I just want to get my head in like a good space.
So you're coming in on off hours, if you will, to like make sure you're set and ready to go, huh?
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
Make sure Monday is good and easy so we can start like pulling barrels and get grist built so we can start brewing and make sure pack hall is good, make sure cellars is set. And
so here we go, Matt. What's your title here at Epic then?
It's either lead brewer or head brewer.
Okay.
It's kind of, we don't really function with titles so much. So
you're like one of the bigger dogs brewer.
Yeah.
Big dog brewer.
Kind of, yeah, I do a lot of planning, focus on that, making sure the beers get produced and packaged, and that's,
make sure the team's running.
Yeah.
Cool. That's cool. Big Baptist, huh? So is this for the upcoming season? Like we're talking this later this year?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Do we have any secrets? What's going on?
So we're going to bring back the Naked Baptist, which is my personal favorite. Just straight Imperial Stout that gets barrel aged. Love it. It's my favorite. We always do like the regular Big Bad Baptist as chocolate and coffee. And then I think we have one that's called Coquito. I can't remember the name. It's basically like, it was described to me as like Puerto Rican eggnog. There's going to be cinnamon and I think coconut, chocolate, coffee, like the whole.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know. There's going to be like another pie variant this year. I've got a list somewhere, but.
Oh, cool.
It's all. It kind of got like breezed by.
Right. So, do they come to you about it? Or are you guys just like, here, you're brewing this kind of thing?
Yeah, it's
one of those things.
Here's the recipe, figure it out.
Fascinating. So they don't come to the brewer and ask about what would you guys like to brew this time?
Sometimes.
Mm.
Not often, though.
I feel like they should. You guys are the one making it.
Yeah.
You're the liquid chefs, you know what I mean? That's really cool that you have that. How big's your team right now here at Epic?
So we got, including myself, three brewers. There's Wes.
Shout out Wes.
Yeah, Wes, love that guy. Nick, he's new. He just moved in from Louisiana. He's been brewing for 10, 12 years.
Oh shit.
Yeah,
in Louisiana?
Louisiana, Bend, and he started at like Lost Abbey in San Diego.
Okay.
So he's seen it all.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. Kind of quiet. But yeah.
I'd love to meet him. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so three of us. And then I help in cellars occasionally with Josh. He's like head cellarman, lead cellarman. And then we've got three cats in packaging, Chris, Paloma, and Danny. They're killing it, working a lot right now, kind of pulling like 10, 12-hour days. So
holy shit, dude.
Trying to help them out. as much as possible. And then we got our warehouse crew. We got Buckner, Jeremy, and Jake Kirkwood. And
it's dope, dude.
Yeah, and everyone has like their priorities, but everyone does a little bit of everything.
So. That's really cool. You're a team then.
Yeah.
You're a nice little family here at Epic.
Yeah, I can't wait to train up Chris and Danny and Paloma and like Sellers and Brewing and get some like real movement between.
It's so much
all.
Easier, dude. And that way then you don't have to worry as much. Not that you worry super, but then you can pass on those, you know, attributes to more people and teach them, and then they can take care of the brew house without you having to worry and have to be here on the weekends.
Yeah. Or just let them, you know, new set of eyes on anything. I think it's like a good thing. Also just train them. Get them experience.
It's good. Hell yeah. So speaking of experience, you're an experienced brewer.
Yeah.
So Matt.
6 years now.
6 years? Okay, so how did you get the job here at Epic?
My friend hooked me up, Brad Rouser. Shout out to him. Love that guy. He got me a job doing like sandwiches and being a bartender.
Cool.
And my like end goal was to become a brewer. And at Epic at the time, that was like the easiest way to get into the industry.
Was to start in the front?
Start in the front. And then usually they would hire from, like packaging would hire from the bartenders. So that was my goal. And then 6 months later, got pulled into packaging. Spent about a year or so there. And then one day they asked me if I wanted to brew. And I was like, yes, always.
Shit. Did someone have to leave in order for you to brew? Did something? How did you get onto the brew house?
It was actually Chris Jacobs.
Ah.
Who you just interviewed. Yeah, he was the overnight brewer. He was like the coolest dude. Like he had that little, what are those called? Like cafe racer motorcycle. They'd pull into the warehouse and like, he'd be leaving at like 6 a.m. He was just like so nice and so cool. And I was like, I want to be that guy when I grow up.
Have you told him this?
I don't think
just
I've told
barely.
Him.
Yeah, but he's listening right now.
Yeah. So he put in his notice. He was moving to California, I think. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was kind of, he told me he, you know, bugged Jordan and Ryan Buxton. Like, hey, make that guy a brewer. So I got to send my praise to him.
Yeah. So you got to learn with some big names here at Epic. Because, like, Epic's produced some fucking powerhouses.
Yeah.
As brewers. And you got to learn from some of them.
Yeah. Definitely my boss, Jordan Schupach. He trained me to be who I am. Shout out to him. Love him. Ryan Buxton, RIP. Also trained me.
Yeah, that's dope.
There was also like Clay Turnbow. Who else? Chad Allen, Malcolm.
Were you here when Jack was here?
Yeah.
Jack Shit. Kern.
Yeah. Yeah, he was brewing. I think I never brewed with him, but he was here.
Man, dude. Some cool cats coming out of here, dude. Yeah. You're one of them, man.
Yeah,
you're part of the legacy. That's really cool. And then you got to take over the overnight shift then? That was your shift?
Yeah. It was like, spent like 2 or 3 weeks in Cellars, and they're like, okay, we just got to train you in the brew house. So spent like a month on mornings, just learning everything, because I had no idea. Like, I'd gone from home brewing.
So you did homebrew?
I did homebrew. And like the process, like using pumps and steam jackets and all that stuff is like worlds of difference. Same thing, but
yeah,
they're... Pardon processes.
Yeah.
And then did overnights for a couple months. And then we had like a cycle. So that was once I got trained, Wes got trained. So me and Wes basically have like the same time on the brew house.
I'm going to ask you something, Jordan.
Sure.
I mean, Matt, is this place scary at night?
No.
It seems a little haunty, kind of.
It is haunted, but it's kind of nice.
I mean, like, man, is it nice?
Yeah, I actually like overnight shifts. You don't have like competition for resources. If you need hot water, you don't have to ask anyone for it.
Just take it.
Yeah, just take it. You also get to learn a lot, just like through like your own failures or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck ups.
Yeah.
And then take that, extrapolate on it, improve.
Man. I don't know. I just get like this
It gets lonely, but...
I can see lonely. Do you have a sound system? You can use a Blair?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So that's fine, dude. That's really cool.
Yeah, that was... Everyone walking down State Street at 2 a.m. was listening to, like, Death Grips or, like, whatever I was listening to at the time. Well, everyone in the brewery has to listen to my music, so...
Yeah, I mean, that's part of being the brewer, right? I get you. That's really cool. So you were at the overnight shift, and then you... 6 years. That's 6 years ago. Holy cow. Have you only brewed here at Epic then?
Yeah.
So you've been here ever since?
Yeah. 8 years at Epic Brewing.
Oh, 8 years. Excuse me. Eight years. Holy cow.
8 years. 6 months was front house bar. About a year in packaging. And then the rest has just been cellars, brewing, barrel work.
You've seen kind of what I call the next resurgence of craft beer in Utah. Like, we've seen breweries popping out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's one every other month kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're seeing the scene happen. You're well known in the scene. Like, you're right next to, you got TF, Proper, Keto's, Fisher. You're right here, right? Mm-hmm. What's something you've learned in the past 6 years from other brewers that haven't come through Epic?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I only just started hanging out with other breweries in the last, like, 2 years.
Just personal choice? Just because?
Yeah, I just never got out. Like, I wasn't really in the scene. And then we had, like, Jake Corey, who's over at TF. He was here. He left. So then started hanging out over there, talking to him.
And Malcolm at the Keto's, right?
Malcolm at Keto's. Michael Utzinger, Brewed Cellar.
Also at TF. Yeah.
Yeah, we also had Jake Weller. I don't know if you...
Oh, yeah, Jake Weller. Yeah, he left, though. He's not in the brewing anymore, right?
No.
He's donezo.
Yeah.
For now. Watch him come back. Watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing that I can think of right now.
That's fine. They gave you a tough question. That's okay.
Yeah.
But what brewery are you seeing outside of Epic right now that's kicking ass? You're like, damn.
Kind of all of them.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, I don't know. My usual haunts are Fisher and TF. Mm-hmm. And every time I go over there, I'm like, I want to make beers as good as they are.
Why can't you?
It's like the challenge of, like, you taste your own stuff all the time. You kind of get, what'd you call that?
I call it bias or palate fatigue for your own stuff.
Fatigue, yeah, palate fatigue.
Just like,
and then you go try someone else's stuff, and you're like, this fucking rocks. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's why, like, I don't hate drinking my product, but at the same time, you know, when people are like, hey, let's go to your place. I'm like, nah, I don't want to go to my place. I live there. Like, I don't want to go there, man.
Yeah.
I get you. But you still make good product, dude.
Thank you.
Like, you guys, we are drinking the one you just came out with. This is the Peach Cream Ale.
Yeah.
Right here. The newest release from Epic Brewing. Talk to us about this one real quick.
Just base cream ale. There's a lot of lactose, a lot of maltodextrin, dextrin malt, flaked oats, wheat, and then 660 pounds of two-row on top of that.
Jesus, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. See, it's like peach cereal, man. I like this a lot.
Yeah, I keep thinking peach rings.
Peach rings.
Yeah.
The peachios?
Yeah, it's like candy.
Oh, yeah.
Candy beer.
And we talked about this earlier, but today, you guys, there's a firkin fest happening at Roja.
Yeah.
And you guys made a firkin for it. Tell us what that firkin's about.
So the base is the peach cream, and... we were juggling ideas. I always like to put peppers into firkins, like jalapenos or habaneros.
Yeah.
I like to roast them.
Dude, peach habanero, let's go.
That would, yeah. But.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
Cellar team was, someone bounced the idea of peach cobbler, and I was like, oh, that's easy. Like, that's going to be good, and it's very, like, doable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just dosed the firkin with cinnamon, vanilla, graham crackers.
Like actual graham crackers? Like we're talking, you crumbled them and threw them in there?
Yeah.
Smooshy mess?
Yeah. And then handful of peach rings.
More peach rings?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it's firkin. Yeah. Like, why not?
Exactly. Oh, I'm excited for it, dude.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, with that much sugar you're putting in there, how much priming sugar did you put in, or did you put in any?
None. It's what is it, like a faux firkin?
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So you just flavored it, basically. Yeah. I like that. I'm excited to try it.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go try after this. And there's eight firkins, dude.
Yeah. Nice little come. Firkin festival.
Yeah, Roja. I think they're going to do it on a quarterly is what I think.
Sweet.
Don't quote me on Rob. You can correct me. But I'm pretty sure it's quarterly they're going to do this firkin fest. And so anyone that wants to do a firkin, reach out to Roja or have Roja. Like, just reach out to me. I'll get you connected to Roja. And let's go. I mean, Firkins are fucking fun. Fucking firkin.
They're easy to make.
So easy. And like, we can do whatever you want, man.
Yeah.
Whatever you want. Yeah, I think Strap Tank, Julia made a, she has a Pink Boots Pilsner.
Awesome.
And she put the Pink Boots hops, and then she just overloaded the hops. So she wants the hops. She's like, and I respect Julia because she does, I feel like I talk about Julia Schuler and Jason Stock on every episode, by the way. I don't know why. I guess I idolize both of them. But Julia, she's like, a Pink Boots beer should be about the Pink Boots blend.
Yeah.
That's in her mind. She's like, that's one of the big reasons you should make that beer. And so she's like, I'm going to prove to these people, like, this is what the blend's about. It's fucking sexy. Boom. So I'm excited to see what it's going to be all about, man. It's really cool. Really cool. Being in Salt Lake, you're kind of spoiled being around here. A lot of breweries, a lot of cool things. What's something that Epic has been wanting to mimic or to step up their game, like the to be like, you know, you go to Epic, or you said you went to Fisher and TF, and you're like, I want to make these beers. What's stopping you from making those beers around, like the beers that are being made around here? It's doable. Obviously, your neighbors are doing it.
Yeah. We've been doing a lot of focus on water chemistry and yeast health, cropping, pitching, all of that. So that's my day-to-day focus. Just overall quality. Because that's what I'm allowed to do, basically. We don't have a lot of control over, like, what brands get made.
Okay.
We're a production brewery, so gotta sell beer to make beer. So, yeah, I've just been...
What's something... who's someone you go to that you need help? Like, hey, I need help on chemistry, or I need yeast health. Like, is there someone in the industry, you, like, you always call up, be like, hey?
Yeah. My boss, Schupak.
Yeah, so Jordan, huh?
Yeah. He's wicked smart dude. He went to UC Davis. I can't remember what he has a background in. It's like chemical or biological engineering. I can't remember.
Biochem watch. It's like both.
I can't remember. I'd have to ask him, but.
Super smart.
Yeah. But anytime I have like a question, either go to him or Josh or Sellerman.
What about anyone in the industry outside of Epic?
Yeah, I chat up basically everyone.
Good.
Michael, Kyle, Cobb, Sam over at TF.
Yeah.
And then Colby over at Fisher.
Good. Hell yeah.
Hit them up.
Good. Because like, that's the cool thing about us, dude, is like we can reach out to anyone and be like, hey, I have a question. And there's no dumb question. I'll answer the same question 15 times, you know, and more. It's because it's the first for someone else, you know, and someone that's still kind of a novice in brewing, I'm asking questions all the time. And I'm not afraid to ask because I want to know everything, dude.
Yeah, I never approach anything like I have all the answers. I'm always like, humble. I don't know if I'm doing this right. Good. So,
what's something at Epic that you've been proud of lately? So past 6-8 years, you've had, you know, some beers you've had your hands on. What's something you've been really proud about?
I always love the double skull, the Doppelbach. It's something when it pops up on the brew schedule, I usually try to schedule myself for that day. Same with a Pfeifferhorn Lager.
Ooh.
That's, I always want to brew those.
Wow. What's so special about those two?
I don't know. There's just something about being meticulous on the lager brews that I really love. That's like, I don't know. It's like kind of weird, but.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's because lagers are the babies. Like, you know, you can make an ale in fucking 20 days? Mm-hmm. Lagers take longer.
Yeah.
On purpose. Yeah. Right? They're meant to be babied and coddled and taken care of.
Yeah.
There's more love.
3-4 weeks on a lager.
There you go.
It's always good. Yeah.
Hell yeah. So I like that. I haven't thought about that. I've never made a Doppelbach, to be honest with you.
They're good. They're fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Man, I like dark beers. Oh, I bet you a lot of grain. But dark beers, because I like the brewer's coffee, like the first word you put in your coffee. Man, that's why I look forward for dark beers. Anytime we do the stout,
I have never done that.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. So get your coffee, brew it right towards the end of Vorlauf. You should do is brew your cup of coffee, whatever it is, and take your first wort sample, right? And then after first wort, the second pour, just pour it right in your coffee cup and just sweetens it naturally. No sugar or no like milk in there, just a little bit of that wort sugar.
Yeah.
And as long as you did your shit correctly, it should be sweet, right?
Yeah.
And the darker beers, I like the stouts and the Viennas we do or Dunkels, and man, oh man, dude, it's just beautiful. Try it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I do like, you know, like the barley tea idea.
Oh yeah.
That was something that Malcolm told me about. It's like really popular in like China, I think. Mm. So Yeah, I always taste the first word.
Man, Malcolm is secretly a genius.
He is.
I wish he'd push his geniusness out more, because that guy is a man. That's a smart man. His palate's great too. I trust his palate.
Yeah,
he's a good cat.
He always had like cool, crazy ideas. Like when he worked here,
I bet he was like,
"Let's not do that." Like, I don't know if that's gonna work. And he was like,
Is there one you can remember that he thought of? You're like, no.
He was the first one that told us. So like when we pitch yeast into tanks, we usually do it through the racking arm. And he was like, no, we should put it in line with the knockout. And I was like, no. Like, I didn't put any thought into it. But now that's like SOP. I thought he was
small changes, man.
Yeah, I thought he was nuts.
Yeah, I can see that, though. I can see that.
Yeah, it's improved all of our fermentation, so.
Yeah, small things like that, man. I mean, I guess sometimes when, you know, I think as a home brewer, I hear people putting the yeast in the tank first and then knocking out on top of the yeast.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me is like, why? What if you accidentally run hot or cold? You might destroy that yeast for a second.
Yeah.
Nah, you got to blend it, make it nice, make it easy. Like, get that yeast going into your already ready to go wort, right? It's fascinating, man. There's so much to learn, dude. Yeah. Little tricks of the trade. That's why if I had it my way, man, like, I want to come brew here one day, because I want to come brew it with everyone.
Yeah.
Just to pick up little techniques from, like, what do you guys do here at Epic that I'm not doing, or what's not being done at Proper, or what's not being done at Hopkins, right? Like, I want to know these things, because everyone has a different system. I swear everyone's got an older system, a younger system, you know. And, like, I even want to go to Chapel's new place.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, Tim, show me how you brew. I'm not going to judge. I just want to know. Like, what do you... Can you teach? Because he brewed in China forever. So I'm like, I want to know how the Chinese do it, dude. I don't know how a Chinese brew. I'm there. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to Epic, their Denver location has been currently closed forever, right? Did that impact you guys dramatically?
Yeah.
How so? I mean, I'm not familiar with this.
Well, so obviously, like, production is now only coming out of this location. So production is, like, through the roof. As far as brewing, like, we have two open tanks right now that are planned for Tuesday to be refilled. So that's one thing. We also got all of their materials. So, like, our warehouses are full right now. We're just trying to keep up with space.
Do you still have a supply for Colorado?
What's that?
Like, the Denver Epic Denver supply beer for Colorado, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys know how to do that?
Yeah.
Like, you guys, literal production just skyrocketed, doubled, basically.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. Man, it's fun.
Keeps you busy.
Yeah. Job security.
It is job security. Did you get to keep some of those barrels from, I know you guys are sitting on a bunch of barrels over there, like Big Baptist barrels and things you were aging.
They processed all that.
Damn.
It's already canned or bottled.
Oh, so it's all taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't lose any product, did you?
No.
Oh, sit. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there public knowledge? Can we know why that facility did close down?
I actually don't know.
Hmm.
I
don't either.
I think that what I've been told is, like, after COVID, sales have just been down in general. So it's like, we don't need two breweries.
That sucks, though, dude, you know?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, shout out to, like, the Denver crew.
Yeah, I feel bad. Yeah. Did you get take any of the Denver crew over here? Did anyone happen to come over? Damn.
Nah, I mean, there's...
Hoping the best, then.
Yeah, hope for the best. There's lots of brewery jobs over there, so...
Oh, yeah.
I hope everyone landed on their feet.
Oh, I bet. I bet they did. Let's hope for the best, huh?
Yeah.
But that means you guys, busy. Are you guys still brewing 24/7?
We will be starting this week.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
So this place will be going cracking. Yeah. Are you ever going to get AC in this building?
No. No, we do.
No, thank God.
The brew house always gets up to like 100 degrees, but that's, you know, got three steam jacketed vessels up there. So it's just always hot.
Is there any way you can cool that down? Is there any way you're going to be?
Get rid of the windows.
Get rid of the windows.
Yeah.
Turn them up, dude.
Yeah. Talking to Chris Jacobs when he came back, he was like, I've brewed a lot of different places, but Epic Brewing is the hottest brew house. And I was like, yeah, you got like a south-facing window and a west-facing window.
Oh, yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah, so like July and August, it's like 6 p.m., sun just beaming
right in your ojos, huh? Damn. So what you should do is offer hot yoga during those times.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Bring people in, do hot yoga at Epic. Epic hot yoga.
Epic hot yoga.
Telling you. All right. So what we're going to do real quick is we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back, refuel, and I got some more questions for you, brother.
Cool.
You ready?
Yeah.
Shout out to our newest sponsor, IM Bar Holistic Healing. As a family, we here at the Taste Master team want to advocate self-care and wellness. Life is a beautiful journey and can have many stresses along the way. IM Bar Healing is a wellness studio focused on integrated holistic health, wellness, and healing. They are here to offer modalities, tools, technologies, techniques, and support in all areas of healing that are unique to you, both individually in private one-on-one settings and collectively in group settings. Deep healing is a journey of education, empowerment, and owning one's responsibility for personal health. Healing techniques such as yoga, Reiki, sound bath, educational seminars, massage, breathwork, and so much more. IM Bar Holistic Healing is a one-stop shop for all things healing, health, and wellness, ranging from esoteric energy work to allopathic medicines. Check them all out on social media platforms or online at eambar.co for all updated events. I personally choose IM Bar for all my breathwork sessions. I tell you this, it's changed my life. Investing in yourself is priceless. Become your higher selves, my friends. Shout out to our sponsor, Solstice Malt. Solstice Malt is Utah's only craft malt house producing premium malt from local barley, oat, rye, and wheat. From farm to bag, Solstice Malt has a loving hand in each step of the way. Floor malted, flaked, raw, roasted, smoked, and everything in between, Solstice Malt does it all with pristine technique. Supplied and trusted by breweries, distillers, and all brew supply stores in Utah, we highly recommend using grain from Solstice Malt. For any inquiries or any questions, reach out to Solstice Malt on all platforms or shoot them an email at solsticemalt@gmail.com. Remember, without malt, there is no beer. Until next malt, my friends. Outlaw Distillery's Bourbon Barrel Aged Hot Sauce is back on the shelves. Also, head on over to meet the newest distiller in our Outlaw family, Connor Kelly. With experience from places like High West, Connor helps turn up Outlaw's premium game. Head on over to Outlaw Distillery located at 552nd West, 8360 South, Midvale, Utah for a tour and tasting. Their staff is well-trained and leads with full passion. With homegrown grain to glass, Outlaw Distillery carries some of our favorite weekday sippers, like vanilla bean rum, spiced rum, honey bourbon, and that delicious bourbon whiskey. Trust us when we say it should be outlawed. It's so good. Yeah. Until the next spirits, my friends. All right, family, we're back. Matt, you have a secret surprise ready for Epic Brewing.
Yeah,
I do. Talk to us about this. You just poured us something.
Yeah,
what is this secret concoction?
So it's our seltzer base that we've been making for like some years. And the idea behind it is Moscow Mule. So there's ginger juice, lime puree, and a simple sweetener in it. Yeah, give it a good whiff.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah? Let's see.
It's like a maybe a touch limey Moscow Mule, but it's a Moscow Mule. Mm-hmm. I like that. You got the ginger on there? I like that nose, man. Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, bro.
Yeah, it's going to be 5%.
Put some ABV. Bubbles on that.
Ooh. Yeah. That carbonated is going to be
dangerous.
Yeah.
Oh, look out truly, my man. Holy shit. So this is in the works, huh?
Yeah. I think the recipe is basically dialed in. Just going to be figuring out, you know, filter,
yeah,
transfer, recirking it. And then since it has that simple sweetener in it, you got to figure out a way to like pasteurize it so it's shelf stable, but that's down the road.
Yeah, well, we got some friends in the industry that can help you do that.
Yeah.
So they do the same thing, right? But because you were saying that there's not a Moscow Mule seltzer on the market.
Not in Utah that I know of. Like there's stuff at the liquor store.
Is there?
Yeah. Trying to think who makes them.
Oh, you're thinking like the canned cocktails?
Yeah, canned cocktails.
Okay, gotcha. I mean, I know Simplicity does one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Dented Brick does one or Sugar House, but
Yeah, there's a couple.
There's some, you know, the distillers are trying to make their, put their liquor into, but this is going to be a seltzer version of it.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the seltzer Moskell Mule, though.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well done.
Yeah.
I'm actually really excited for this. Is there going to be a name for it at all?
I've got the Epic label. Mule.
What?
Let me see if I can find it.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's just called Moskell Mule.
But I think for a seltzer, I think it's going to be really good.
I guess it's called Utah Mule.
The Utah Mule.
Yeah.
Oh, I just turned that off. I apologize.
No, you're good.
That's really cool. Epic's Utah Mule.
Yeah.
That's really cool, dude. Man. So, as a beer maker, does making a seltzer kind of hurt your soul a little bit?
No.
Not at all?
No. Definitely not something I buy, but...
You don't go out of your way for seltzers?
No.
Not even if you're on the floating the river, just chilling, hanging out, got a stogie, maybe a couple Coors. You're not going to throw some White Claws or Trulies or Roja or Epic seltzers in there?
Nah, Claw's the law, but not my game. Hmm. I take PBR.
Oh, shit. So you're a beer guy.
Yeah. I love PBR, love Coors.
Was that your go-tos? Like, if you can go domestic and you had one beer in your fridge?
PBR.
PBR all day?
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
I like it. It's good.
So I heard a rumor about PBR that they don't use money for marketing because they just use their money for ingredients.
That's cool.
And I mean, have you seen a PBR? When's the last time you saw a PBR commercial?
Never.
Yeah. Or a PBR billboard?
Yeah, no, never.
An ad?
No.
Do
never
you?
Never seen a PBR truck? Like,
I don't know. I've seen, like... the neon signs and bars, PBR, but besides that, dude, I don't see a lot of marketing.
Yeah. They had pretty good, like, viral marketing.
Did they?
It must have been, like, 2010, I think, is when, I don't know if it was just, like, my age group, like, just turning 21.
Because you're so old, is that why?
Yeah.
Get out of here, man.
No. But I do remember, it seemed like everyone... at least in my friends group, like, was just suddenly like PBR is the best.
Oh yeah.
And then like I was like, okay.
I think it's a marketing shtick when it's a red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, America.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. 4th of July beer.
Exactly. All right, Matt. Questions for you.
Right on.
Here at Epic, I know you made some beers. You guys have to make certain beers. You have some flagship beers.
Yeah.
You have a lot of rotations. Are you guys still doing the sour series?
As in like the fooder?
The fooder and then the brainless, right? The brainless is the fooder.
Yeah.
Right? Are you still doing that? Are you still going to?
Nah. Now that Denver's closed, we don't have the fooders.
So no more brainless series anymore.
Not.
Or TBA.
Yeah, TBA.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know. Because we don't have space for fooders, so I don't know.
Could you fuck with the idea of instead of doing like a lacto... bacillus, you know, traditional kettle souring, we can do, not traditional, but kettle souring.
Yeah.
And then you can do like the pseudo Philly sour or the other soury lactic acid producing yeasts and bring that back, maybe?
We could. I don't know.
Is that a pain in the ass, probably? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we still do like the sip of sour, the tart and juicy. Yeah. Like we still do those, and those are kettle soured, but.
So you can do kettle sours here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah, we did one. Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, shit.
Left it in the kettle overnight. Brewed back on top of it. It's all good. Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What's some beers that you haven't made here at Epic that you want to make at Epic? If you were given the go-ahead, like, hey, Matt, here's a week of just you to brew 5 beers. What beers are you brewing?
Wow, I don't know. I'd leave that up to Wes. He's kind of the guy with the ideas.
I can see that. But what do you want to make, though?
Lagers.
Lager, what kind of lager?
Really like Dunkels, which I know we have one here to try, so I'm excited for that. Just anything traditional.
Nice.
Just get that under the belt and see if I can do it.
Yeah, and that I feel like as a brewery, you need to be able to do those traditional styles to say, I can do it.
Yeah, I want the challenge.
Hell yeah.
Be like, I've done it. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah, but you only know what you try.
Yeah. Better to, like, fuck around and find out than not.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
What's some goals you have here at Epic and some goals you have as a brewer, my friend?
Win an award at GABF.
Okay.
So that's both.
And both, yeah.
Because, I don't know, I think that'd be good for the team. Doing it, it's the hard part. Yeah, I think that's kind of it for, like, personal and for the brewery.
Okay. Goals for Matt, just Matt. Take out Epic, take out brewing. What's some goals for you in your life, brother?
I want to move to Brooklyn.
Why Brooklyn?
I went there a year ago for a concert with my friends, and it was just like, I never thought I'd like New York. I never thought I'd like Brooklyn. And we got there, and I was like, this is the best shit that I've ever seen in my life.
That's so cool.
Stuff everywhere. And, like, the vibe is cool. I don't know.
Do it, man.
So that's a goal. I also just want to travel. Ooh. Since I've been dating Kelly.
That's, shout out, Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly. yeah, we've been kind of just, like, jet set. Doing, like, we did Seattle and Orcas Islands. That's northwest of Seattle.
Okay.
Very cool. We did Portland for a concert. Also with my friends. That was really sweet. And we did Santa Rosa, like, wine country. Met her friend is, like, a head vintner out there. So
shut the hell up. That's cool.
Got to hang out with him and check out some wineries. And
yeah. That's my retirement job, dude.
Yeah. Got the lowdown on the natural wines.
Man. Sulfate free?
Sulfate free. Get and that's it. Yeah.
It's the bee's knees, man.
Yeah.
Fuck the sulfates.
Yeah.
And anything.
Yeah.
Fuck sulfates. So mad. We were talking about, it's a total tangent, but talking about brewing, you know, some of the couple brewers that are well known here. We're talking about German wheat beers and how those Weiss beers have that sulfur note sometimes you get, you know, here in America. I feel like anytime I've had one here or I brewed one, it's, you get that sulfur kind of nose and it's off putting, right?
Yeah.
And fucking one of the brewers, you know, traditional, it's like, hey, let's put some fucking copper in there. Like, let's use copper. Another brewer's like, or just use fucking sodium or sulfur. It's like a compound where copper sulfate. And all you do is dose it.
Oh, yeah.
Sulfur's gone. I'm like, oh. I'm sitting here thinking, like, shit, it's the worst. But there's always a way to fix a beer. There's always a way to enhance and make bitter and get rid of whatever off flavor you're, like, because of a process, because of how you're doing it, temperature, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't, and there's a fix for it, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know why I went on that tangent, but, yeah, the wheat beers.
I like it.
Because I think, for me, one of the hardest styles that I really want to master is, not that you asked, Matt, but it's, I want to make a damn good wheat beer.
Yeah, wheat beers rule.
But I don't, everyone's hell-bent on clean lagers, which I love. Don't get me wrong. I'm a brewer at heart. Like, I love my lagers. But a good wheat beer?
Yeah.
Like, let me get that wheat flavor. Like, I want to taste the difference between the white wheat and the red wheat. Like, I want to get flaked wheat. Like, I want to get all of it, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, challenge. Always learning, man.
Yeah. Wheat's fun to work with, you know?
Yeah, and so is oats. That oat came through in that cream ale of yours.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Very soft.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, more questions for you.
Okay.
In the brewing industry, who are some of your idols?
Ooh.
Or people you look up to?
I don't have any names.
That's fine.
But everyone?
But everyone.
Yeah.
Cool.
Treat everyone as though, you know, they know as much or more than me. So I'm always like trying to, I don't know, get through it.
Have you ever fucked with the idea of distilling or making cider?
No.
Or mead?
I've made cider.
Have you now?
Yeah. My buddy Patrick over at Blue Copper, he got some, I don't know if they're like 15-gallon fermenters. I can't remember where he got them from, Jesus. But yeah, we were like, yeah, let's buy some apple juice. And so we used, I think it was like Treetop or one of the, you know, just something you can buy at like Smith's. And we took powdered yeast that we got at like the Beer Nut or something. And then I also took 013 London Ale yeast from here, like live culture, fermented them side by side. And that was pretty sweet.
So what was the end result? Like, what happened? The different yeasts and different, can we?
Yeah. So the one that we fermented with the live culture was like perfect. Like, well, I don't want to say perfect, but it was really good. We were really happy with it. It was sweet, balanced, not bone dry.
Okay.
Which was pretty cool. The one that we used with the powdered yeast was like garden hose. Got that like nice vinyl.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think?
I don't know. Like, I don't really like powdered yeast. It's not, I don't.
Not your jam?
No.
Well, maybe.
Could be, yeah.
I don't know.
Not oxygenated well enough, so yeast could have struggled. Could have been underpitched. I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah, it's not. You're not a cider maker.
No.
That's like, I'm cool. Interested to see what Marcio does over at Mountain West, you know. And how he can take his beer knowledge into the cider world and kind of like fuck with that, you know?
Yeah.
I was watching him the other day. He was racking. You know how when we're transferred from a fermenter to a bright tank, and you have that the schmutz, the cake, the trub underneath, right? And you use the racking arm to like kind of see where you're at.
Yeah.
Well, Marcio, motherfucker, he can just open his a manway and go by eye. Because he doesn't need, like, he doesn't, cider's not as clean as beer.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, because he'd get zero pickup from yeast or any of that schmutz. Zero. Yeah.
Really?
And I'm like, what? Because we get like maybe like a fraction of a percent, like, you know, you're trying to move that racking arm a little bit. That's the whole point of the goddamn racking arm, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fascinating, man. It was so, I was kind of envious.
Yeah, talking to John, the vintner that I went and met
a
couple months ago. Yeah, I was like, so, like, where do you guys source your yeast? Or, like, what's your pitching method? And he was like, oh, there isn't. We just, whatever's on the grape is what we use. And I was like,
okay,
that is genius. But I didn't know that a winery that big would rely on just what's on the must.
I feel like that's why when you hear a frost came through and destroyed a vineyard, it's destroyed.
Yeah.
Like, it's done. I mean, that's when you're at the hands of Mother Nature.
Yeah.
So that's kind of scary in a way. You can't, because here in beer, sure, there can be hops that have shitty yields or malt, but at the end of the day, like, we can still make beer.
Yeah.
But grapes, if that vineyard is gonzo, that grape is gonzo.
Yeah.
Smell you later.
Yeah.
See you next year.
Yeah.
Man, because, you know, it's a blizzard outside and we can still make beer, but if it's a blizzard out in the vineyard, you're sitting there going, fuck. Did I just lose all my inventory?
There goes the crop.
Man, could you imagine? No. So about distilling, you ever thought about going and any desire? Are you a spirits person at all?
No.
Oh, okay.
I recently got into martinis, but...
Gin martinis or vodka martinis?
Vodka, dirty. Been looking at Stanley Tucci's recipe.
What's his recipe?
It's insane. it's like an ounce of vermouth. On
that's
the ice.
A lot of vermouth, my friend.
You stir it for a minute. Let it sit for 15 seconds. Stir it for a minute. Let it sit for 15 seconds. Dump it so that the ice is coated with the vermouth.
Ah.
And then it's 3 ounces of vodka on that, shaken. And then that's your drink. And I was like, that's just vodka.
Yeah, with a touch of vermouth.
Yeah, I was like, Stanley Tucci, what are you doing?
Just pouring down vermouth. That's what he's doing. He's wasting vermouth.
Yeah, take shot of vermouth, drain.
Three ounces of fucking. All right, Stanley.
Yeah.
He's just getting fucked up on the week, huh?
Yeah.
Man. Why is Epic special to you, Matt?
It's like my home at this point, you know. Been working with Josh for the whole time. Buckner's been here for, I don't know, I think 6 years, same with Wes. It's kind of like my other family. Definitely if it wasn't for the people that I work with, I don't think I'd stick around, but the whole team's cool. So.
Would you still be a brewer?
I think so.
Do you see yourself doing anything but brewing? Like, let's say, hey, you know what? My time's done. When is your time going to be done? When do you know you're done here at Epic?
No idea.
When do you think you're done as a brewer?
When back gives out or my knees give out.
What do you do then? What do you do then?
I don't know. Probably.
You thought that far?
I mean, I have a degree in English, so I could probably use that for. What's up, Kirkwood? Probably use that. Like, I worked at the library for here, and I was thinking about getting a degree in library science and doing that route. Teaching. I don't know.
Damn. I mean, I haven't thought that far, but because like I feel like brewing's gonna be my life. Fuck you, right? But that's why I've been dabbling the idea of like ciders and spirits, not because it's less laborious as beer making, but I feel as though I can still, I'd like to own a vineyard.
Yeah.
And produce. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to not stop fermentation because I love cooking. I love being a liquid chef. It's really cool, really fascinating. I like seeing the final product and having people enjoy it, right? I mean, these concoctions we can come up with and create. Mm-hmm. Do you see your time at Epic coming anytime soon? Or do you see it like down the line for some time?
Down the line, like if the right job came along, I would definitely.
What would that be? You get all reins. You're the owner slash brewer slash like. Are you looking for the golden ticket kind of thing?
No, just looking for, just to be happy. You know.
So if Brooklyn came like, hey, listen, I need a head brewer at Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You'd be like, fuck this, bro.
Like Evil Twin went there. They were pretty cool.
Is there a brewery you're like Dogfish Head or something like that? One of these big teams. Like, hey, they offered me a job, I'd go.
Honestly, no. Nothing for like the big dogs. Hmm. I kind of like the small game.
Yeah.
I like kind of what Fisher's got going on where it's like direct to like their taps. I mean, now they have like canning line and stuff, but
yeah.
I like that like small local.
Keep it here.
Yeah.
I like that too.
Not trying to ship beer all over the world. And,
yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. So since it seems like you're going to be a brewer for quite some time, Matt.
Yeah.
So what, besides getting an award, a medal on some hardware on the wall,
yeah.
What's some other like must do checklist before you can hang up the boot to say, as a brewer, I think I did most of what I could as a brewer. I can call myself a veteran brewer. Like, what do you still need to do to get those, you know, those patches of valor?
I guess train someone to be better than me. That would be kind of the coolest thing that I think I could do is to have a prodigy, like what you are.
I am not a prodigy. It's,
well, you said you were a prodigy to your...
Well, that's what he wants me to be.
Yeah.
I mean, but that, I'd love to be able to say I'm better than my... Okay, that's... Not that I'm better than my boss, but if he could say that, you know, it's like, how I can liken it is Obi-Wan looking at Luke Skywalker and be like, yeah, Luke Skywalker is the best ever, and I trained him. So, yeah, I could see that. I see where you're going with that. And that's really cool. That's really humbling because, yeah, that'd be awesome, man.
Yeah.
Like, I look at... what Jaren's opening helper beer right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Kevin trained Jaren. I mean, they did. I mean, they worked together. But to watch one of your dear friends, like, just kick ass and do his own thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love for you and Wes to, like, to train someone individually and just, like, have your own prodigies do their own thing and then take care of you guys.
Yeah. Have them go and win awards and make whatever beers they want.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah. That's... I think that would be my, like, gold star.
Damn, man. Because I'm newer to the game where I haven't thought that far.
Yeah.
But now you got me thinking, man. Yeah. That's way more... That's priceless. That's way more than a medal or 5 medals or 20 medals for one beer at a... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Damn, man. That's beautiful, dude. Shit. Man, you got me thinking. What about... So, Utah beer scene, we're kicking ass. We have a lot of great breweries around. What's an underdog brewery you see here in Utah that is probably going to make a name for himself? Like, you're like, I've got my eye on them. I'll put money on this guy's because.
Dang, I think I'd have to go with Hopkins or Level Crossing.
Cool.
I think that they've got room to grow. And I don't know. I think that those are.
Yeah, shout out Hopkins and Level Crossing. They're doing great things and they have a good team.
Yeah.
I feel like, and this is me, and I'm not. Because it's just my opinion. As long as you have a team willing to grind in the trenches with you, with a great leader wanting to do the same fucking thing,
yeah,
unstoppable.
Yeah, you can do anything.
Yeah, and I hope that both. I'm not saying one is or one isn't, if they do that, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah,
and Utah's gonna continue to kick ass, man. I mean,
I think we're always like the best craft beer scene,
dude,
around right now.
I don't want to say that out loud because then more people will show up, but
yeah, right.
It's like this, we have the greatest snow and then everyone comes and snow or skis here.
Yeah.
Now we have shitty snow. Keep it for us. But no, you're right. Cause I think, Utah is a secret weapon, man. I think this next GABF and this next, World Beer Cup, we're going to kick some ass and bring some metal back and, or at least do some damage. And people will be like, okay, Utah, we know. Cause I think I credit it to a long time for us brewing under 3.2%.
Yeah.
Like that was, we had to make good beer with low alcohol.
Yeah.
So it pushed us to make, to become better and to hone in our craft. And then now we get to like slowly lift the gates of like, hey, you get to do whatever you want now. It's like, oh, watch out. Yeah. I'm going to come out swinging. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, Matt, what's something that, the craft beer scene in Utah is missing in your mind? If anything.
I don't think we're missing anything. I think we have kind of a plethora of brewers and ideas, and I don't know. I think we've kind of got it all.
I love that. We have a collaboration. The Utah Brewers Guild usually does a collaboration fest, right? They like to collab. I'm a big proponent of collaborations. I love talking about collaborations. If you can collaborate with three breweries in Utah, who would you collaborate with and why?
Ooh. All right. We've already done TF. We did TF last year. That was a lot of fun. Love those guys. I would say Shades. Want to work with Tanya. And I don't know. I want to see what she's doing. I want to check it out. Brew with her. I think Fisher for exactly the same reasons. I'm liking their lagers that they've been putting out, like Fisher Beer and that Checkmate.
That very Checkmate good. Slaps, dude.
Yeah. Woo. That new filter that they got is fucking cool. And then
speaking of filters,
yeah,
hit them up.
Yeah, that's what is it, like a lenticular filter that they've got?
To be honest with you,
I think that's what it is. And then shoot, I don't know. I haven't been to Chapel yet. They're brand new. Meet them.
Hell yeah.
See what's up.
Yeah.
Meet them. Brew them.
I like that.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, Matt. You've seen what Tastemasters have done. You've seen who we've interviewed. Who am I missing? Who are we missing to showcase? You behind-the-scenes kind of artist that we're looking to go out and reach out to. Do you want to hear the story?
My boss, Shootbach. Definitely, he's probably got a lot of stories to tell. He's also wicked smart. I think, yeah, he's like, yeah, I think definitely him. Our new brewer, Nick.
Ooh.
Since he's been in the industry.
Louisiana guy, huh?
Yeah. He's been in the industry for so long that, like, I see him, like, brewing, and I'm like, what is this new method that has been bestowed upon us?
Right.
Yeah, I'd say those two.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Anywhere outside of Epic?
Ooh. I don't know.
Think about it.
You've done Tanya.
Yeah.
Done Don?
Done Don.
I'm trying to think. Done Chris.
Think about it, man. Think about it. And in the meantime, what's something that I can do as a friend, as I can do as a brewer, as I can do to Tastemasters to help you, Matt, be a better person and a better brewer?
Just keep doing what you're doing. I'm loving it.
Good, man. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you need, man. Whatever I can do to help you become a better brewer, hone in your craft. I like what you're doing here. I like what the team you have here. I love the camaraderie you have here. I love how everyone at Epic stays at Epic because they like what you guys have developed, and you're doing what the old school cats have done, like Buxton and Chewbuck, like all these guys. You're still holding on to this legacy, and yeah, that's why Epic's so cool. Epic's not going anywhere, and it'd be sad if Epic were to go somewhere, because
yeah,
you guys have created this, like, I don't know, like I see you guys like the trench workers, like you're just in the trenches all together, like you were saying earlier. Everyone in this brew house knows how to do a little bit of something because you guys can do it. It's not like you're only doing cellar work. You're only doing canning. Nah, man, come check the shit out. We're all moving. We're all a team.
Yeah.
And you're in the trenches with them, and that's because you learned that from your the ones before you, your bosses, yeah, right? And I think, again, because of that, makes you a great brewer, a great person, and that's why the Epic team, I think, is pretty badass.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man.
Much
again,
love.
Thanks for sitting down with me, Matt. I think you're badass.
Thank you.
Thanks for on your busy Saturday and taking time out of your time, out of your day, and sitting with me and sharing some beverages. And yeah, man, whatever I can do, I'll love the fuck out of you.
Appreciate it.
And on that note, my friend, until the next beverage.
Cool. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, Twitter at @TheTastemasters, or on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. tell your friends, and thanks for listening. Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_audio.